Morning.
Morning.
God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And it is good to be here this morning. We might have this opportunity to participate in another worship service done in God's name. This morning, I want to look at James chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. The title of my message this morning is Dealing with Temptation. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. And it reads, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say, when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one, when he is tempted, when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." I am a very big movie buff. I love going to the movies. I've always have loved going to the movies. And even to this day, I've been fascinated by the fact that something that is meant for entertainment could potentially teach you so much. And one movie that has left an impact on me was a movie called Race. It was a movie that tells the story of Jesse Owens on his journey to becoming a gold medalist champion. And in one scene, Jesse is harassed by the football team. And the coach comes to him in the locker room and asks him about it. Jesse says he was distracted. And at that moment, the football coach and his team comes into the locker room so that they may be able to prepare for their practice. And they're providing yet another distraction. But Jesse's coach tells him, that a lot of people will show up at the track meets, and not all of them are going to be for them. They're not going to all be on their side. The whole team, the whole time that he is addressing his team, the football coach and his team are being loud and disruptive, and they're trying to, you know, make him shut up so that they can get him out of the locker room. And so they're constantly making all this noise. But the coach completely ignores the other coach, and he tells them that they have to learn to block it all out. It's just noise. They will love you or they will hate you. Either way, it doesn't matter. Tune out the distractions and stay focused on the goal. As a Christian, I have come to view temptation in much the same light. When temptation comes, it makes you feel as though you are getting what you want. But the truth is that it is nothing more than a distraction, an attempt at manipulation from the enemy, who wants nothing more than to see you fail. He is bent on robbing you of your place in heaven. It is important that we, as God's people, view temptation for what it really is and learn to block it out. It is entirely possible that temptation can catch you on the blind side. If you let it, it will have you chasing after your wants and your desires, like a dog running after a squirrel or a cat chasing the light from a laser beam. The most basic yet significant truth of temptation is that it presents every person with a choice to either be faithful to God or to be unfaithful. Yes, it carries with it the idea of being enticed or seduced into sin. But at its core, it is all about where your heart is. In James chapter 1, verse 12, we are told, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." The New Living Translation says it a little bit differently. It says, "God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation." And the reason for the difference is that in the translation, because the Greek word used there for temptation is the same word that's actually used in verse 2 for trials. And so it turns out that this word is perasmos. It usually is translated just as temptation, but in Thayer's Greek lexicon, depending on the context, it can be used universally to mean a trial or proving. And specifically, it is used to mean the trial of a man's fidelity, integrity, virtue, constancy. Also, an enticement to sin, temptation, whether arising from the desires or from outward circumstances. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines the word constancy as steadfastness of mind under duress, and a state of being constant or unchanging. And so now we can understand why James would say that we are blessed if we endure temptation. We may see temptation as simply being alluring into sin, but God sees it as an opportunity to check the authenticity of our faith. Amen. But even more than just being a test, it is an opportunity to stand firm on the Word of God, a chance to put our faith into practice. And notice that it's not just suffering through temptation that God leaves us blessed. It's those who endure through it, who make it to the end of it. Some people don't spend much any time fortifying their spiritual being. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus talks about the seed that fell on different types of ground. He says in verse 20, "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The only way God's word can truly take root in your life is if it is more than just words on a page. It has to be the foundation of what you have built your life upon. It has to be what you have come to be defined by. It's easy to sit back and say that you're going to be faithful, but as they say, talk is cheap. If you remember, the Apostle Peter boasted and said, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Matthew chapter 26, verse 33. I can just picture Jesus shaking his head as he tells him he's going to deny him three times. But we know they not only have said this, but Peter and the other apostles doubled down and said, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." But we know that he did deny him. And it wasn't any of the apostles who were hanging up there next to him on the cross. As a matter of fact, the only one who was really around even at that time was the apostle John. When he said, "This is your mother," about Mary. That's why Paul said, "Let him that thinks he stands beware." Temptation isn't always a full-on assault. Sometimes it comes in the subtle little things that we least expect. That's what I mean when I say it can catch you on the blind side. Peter probably wasn't even thinking about the fact that he was going to have to talk to some people. He would probably just focus on trying to see what was happening with Jesus. I'm sure he didn't expect somebody to question him about his following Jesus. And he was probably thinking about the fact that he cut off that soldier's ear. And so in that whole time, when they started questioning him, he wasn't expecting that fear to rise up in him and cause him to deny the Lord. He wasn't really thinking about that at all when he was making those bold statements of faith. But by the same token, his faith had not really been tested yet. You see, and sometimes we ourselves get into that habit of making bold statements of faith. But the real test comes when the rubber meets the road. Yes. When we really get put into a situation that tests our faith. But if we're really going to be approved so that we can receive our crown of life, then we must, like Paul, be able to say, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And keeping the faith is what it's really all about. Because the crown of life is worth you enduring. No matter how many times you stumble and fall, you can always get right back up. No matter how many people come and go in your life, God is always right there with you.
Amen.
God is always going to be faithful to those who love him more than they love sin. And it's important to remember that when your situation is hard to deal with and the temptations that come, and they will come, will offer a temporary easing of difficulties. But in most cases, what we're tempted with doesn't make things better. It only makes things worse. And that's why we have to keep in mind that God is not the one trying to tempt you. James says in verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. See, there is a difference between being tried and being tempted. Satan is the one involved in temptations. God uses situations to try individuals. Amen. Satan is trying to entice you to sin and do evil. God is trying to encourage and entice you to be righteous. God may respect your freedom to choose and allow you to be tempted, but it does not come from him. Think about the whole experience that Job went through. That whole situation was manipulated by Satan. God only set the limitations for what Satan could do. And through all that, God was the one who was being blamed for what he was experiencing. God allowed it to be, at least in part, because he was trying to try Job. He was trying to make sure that his faith was genuine.
Yeah.
And as Paul points out in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he won't allow you to be tempted above what you are able to handle. We all know that if we're going to be going through some things, it's only because God knows that we can deal with it. And ultimately, the real source of your temptation doesn't rest outside yourself. The real temptation doesn't come from the devil. It rests within you. James says in verse 14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Some people can be very good at blaming other people when things go wrong. I have been guilty of that myself at times. When I've had my policy dropped from my insurance, and everybody involved in Vegas knows that when your insurance policy gets dropped, immediately the DMV gets notified, and immediately you get charged a $250 fine. And so, you know, it's real easy to sit back and try and blame the insurance company for not calling you. But when you have integrity, you begin to realize the part that you play in the things that happen in your life.
Yeah.
You begin to realize and understand that You are the one who is responsible for what goes on in your daily life. You can't control the experiences that come your way, but all you can control is what you do about them. And that's why it's necessary to be well acquainted with the areas that you are weak in. Earlier, I used the analogy of a blind spot. Well, in a car, a blind spot can almost be completely eliminated by simply looking over your shoulders. You know, but as Eddie himself knows, and I know for certain, when you have a commercial driver's license and you're driving a 16-wheeler or a bus or something like that, looking over your shoulder is not going to be enough. When you are driving something that large, you have to be aware, intimately aware, of what your real blind spots are. Because when you go to change lanes, when you go to turn that vehicle or even try to back it up, you have to realize and understand you will not be able to see everything around you. There is a lot of truth to what they say, but if you cannot see the driver in his rearview mirror, then he can't see you. I have seen times where a semi-truck backed into a compact car and crushed the entire front end of that vehicle simply because the driver could not see the car behind him. The guy had gotten right up on his bumper and thought he could just simply honk his horn and the driver would stop. But the driver, he had his windows up, he couldn't hear anything. When he first looked behind him, there was nobody there. But this guy came right up behind him where he couldn't see him, and his car was crushed. The thing is, in much the same way, our personal blind spots sometimes can get us into some serious trouble. Do you know the areas that you are weakest in? Are you aware of the ways in which you are most likely to stumble? Because it should be pretty clear by now that our enemy has thousands of years of experience and practice at pushing the right buttons. He already knows that everybody has different ways in which they are tempted. Not everybody's tempted in the same way. So some people are tempted with alcohol or drugs. For some, it's sex or money. It's clear that Peter thought too much about other people's opinion of him. What is your blind spot? Because when you have taken a self-evaluation, we listened in this morning when he was reading a scripture for reading scripture for communion, he says for us to examine ourselves. Because it becomes real necessary for you to really know yourself.
Yeah.
When you know what your issues are, you can take the necessary steps to avoid the landmines. I've known people who had drinking problems who changed their route to work or changed the way that they go home so that they don't have to drive past a bar. There are people who struggle with lust, who have to be very careful what they expose their eyes to. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1 through 14, "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life. Her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way from her, and do not go near the door of her house." He said, don't even go near her door, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one. Lest aliens be filled with your wealth, and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of assembly and congregation.
Amen.
Understand that Satan is not playing games with you. He is not trying to do tricks and make you just annoyed. He is out for total destruction. He is committed to destroying your life and tearing it totally apart. And more specifically, he is committed to getting you to destroy yourself. Amen. That's why James says in verse number 15, then when desire has conceived, that is when we act on our desires. It gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. As Christians, we know that sin doesn't always mean an automatic death sentence. But when it is full grown is when it has consumed our lives, when we have surrendered to it and it becomes our way of life. At that point, not only is physical death certain, but also spiritual death, being separated from God. James says in verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Through temptation, Satan is trying to convince you to believe that any way other than God's way is good for you. He wants to convince you of that somehow it's better to be hard-hearted towards people instead of showing them love and compassion. He wants to convince married people to look outside their marriage for the intimacy they seek. It doesn't matter what it is that you are tempted with, when you are enticed to violate God's commandments, it will not end well.
Amen.
When you understand that the things that you are tempted with are meant for not for your good, then hopefully it won't be as tempting for you. I am very prone to having gout. And it's made even worse by the fact that my kidneys don't work as well as they should. Because kidneys do play a small part in reducing the amount of sugar that flows in your system. And so when I eat something that I know is not on my prescribed diet plan, it can be extremely, extremely painful for me. And so people who know me know that I have a great sweet tooth. You know, people who know me know I love peach cobbler. And when I was younger, I used to, you know, have at least 3 sodas a day. You know, and those things are no longer a temptation for me. Because the pain that they bring are just not worth the temporary pleasure that they give. A writer named Clyde Cranford wrote, what may at first taste sweet soon becomes bitter. What may seem beautiful becomes distasteful. What we were sure would satisfy soon sickens us to the point of despair. Satan dangles a shiny bauble in the shadows and entices us to come after it, but it is counterfeit, a cheap imitation of the real thing. That's why James says every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God uses the trials for our good, but Satan uses temptation for evil. The things that are good for you to pursue, the things that are best for your life, come from God.
Yeah.
And see, and you will notice most oftentimes the things that are best for you are the things that you least regret in life. And when everything is said and done, you will not regret doing things his way. You will be eternally grateful that you did things God's way. Because his goodness is constant, and in him there is no variation. Satan is the one who creeps in the shadows, while God is the Father of lights. Everything he does is transparent. James says in verse 18, of his own will he brought us forth, by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. There was no one else to try and convince God to create us. God created us because he loved us.
Yeah.
He wanted someone to share his great love with. The only motive behind his every action is love. Everything about him is committed to love. Like a loving parent choosing to give birth to a child or adopt a child. God wants to make sure that you grow and develop, while Satan's every intention is to steal, kill, and destroy. Living in this world can be hard at times, but whether you are facing trials or temptation, as God said to Paul, his grace is sufficient for you. His strength is made perfect in weakness. No matter what you have to face in this world, God is right there with you. Amen. And the temptations we face do not have to overcome us. We can put our faith and our trust in God to provide us everything we need. If there are areas in which we feel that our life is inadequate for, take those things to God. Put your situation in the hands of the one who can provide you a much better life. This world promises a lot, but delivers very little. But God is always true to his word. He is always faithful to those who are faithful to him. And so, let us be those who call on the name of the Lord in the midst of our temptations. And he will give us rest from the things that we deal with. This morning, whatever your needs are, let them be known, as together we stand and sing the invitation song.